For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Welcome all, and thank you for tuning in. We've got another great show lined up for you today. We're going to be discussing some very interesting topics, some topics that we've covered before, but we're going to be covering them in a bit of a new way and having some exciting new information to share with you. As always, I have a special guest. Just want to remind everybody that the Village Green year-end sale is running until the end of the year, so make sure to stop on in and pick up and stock up on any things that you may need. Also, remember that you can listen to any of our previously recorded shows by going to the Village Green homepage, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a microphone icon. If you click on that, it will take you to the archive show section where you can download and listen to any of the previously recorded shows for absolutely free. Today, we're going to be talking about multiple topics. Part of it has to do with the gut bacteria, which we seem to be spending more and more and more time on in our shows. And that has simply to do with the fact that research is starting to help us understand the incredible and important role that gut bacteria play in our health globally. I remember, 10, 15 years ago when I was in naturopathic medical school getting my training, and one of my responsibilities was to go to the library at the medical school associated with the naturopathic school and go through the journals looking for journal articles and peer-reviewed refereed journals that were pertaining to natural treatments, whether that was a certain botanical extract or a certain nutrient like CoQ10 and heart, and just find the different articles and read them and study them and, figure out how they may be extrapolated to help patients that we were seeing in the clinics. And I remember probably the most common article that I would come across had to do with microflora, gut bacteria, specifically as it relates to digestive conditions. It was mainly, you would only see things about probiotics and gut bacteria in the gastroenterology journals. And for many, many years, we all felt that the use of probiotics and the balancing of gut flora was pretty much limited to managing conditions around the digestive system. And there's a solid amount of research to suggest that that is absolutely true. But where the exciting piece has come probably is that in the last 5 years, really in the last 2 years, we're seeing that these gut bacteria are not just having an influence on what's going on in the health of the gastrointestinal system. Their influence reaches far beyond the GI system and affects every system of the body. And we're going to be, I'm sure, discussing some of those aspects today and then discussing specifically how they relate to another topic that people are always very, very, very interested in, which is weight loss. So to help us understand, explore, and discuss this issue today, I have on the phone with me today Mike Mutzel. He has a Bachelor of Science in Biology from Western Washington University and is completing his master's in clinical nutrition from the University of Bridgeport and is a graduate of the Institute for Functional Medicine. He is an independent consultant for one of the world's leading professional nutraceutical companies and has worked as a nutritionist with Dr. Gerard Gilroy of the CARE Group in Denver, Colorado. Mike has lectured alongside Dr. Gilroy to large patient groups in the Denver area, and they've been featured on local TV programs discussing the power of nutrition and functional medicine. So, Mike, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Dr. Kevin, it is my pleasure. I'm very excited to be here.
Great. So I sort of, gave a little bit of an intro around gut bacteria and, some of the aspects of the role they may play. But I'd love for you to just sort of share with us some of the exciting things you're seeing in the research relating to gut bacteria and how it relates to our health. And then, of course, we'll move the conversation into some of these other topics people are interested in, like how it might relate to weight loss.
Yeah, really great point. And I love your introduction because I can really resonate with your story. You know, diving back into the research, even, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, all the research on, well, I shouldn't say all, but a majority, as you said, Dr. Kevin, on the research on gut bacteria was really kind of centered around autoimmunity, centered around gastrointestinal dysfunction and so forth. But what we've seen and how I got into this is working, as you mentioned, with Dr. Guillory in a clinical nutrition setting and outpatient internal medicine practice. I was working with some overweight clients and so forth. And what I found was that a lot of these overweight people also had GI issues. That caused me, like yourself in medical school, to go into the research and kind of figure out what's going on, what's this link between all the gut issues and the high prevalence of belly fat and diabetes and so forth. And so what happened actually was one of the medical assistants, the MA at the office, underwent bariatric surgery and lost a ton of body weight very quickly. So I went into the research and figured out that these gut bacteria play a huge role in our metabolic physiology. They help burn fat, store fat. They help regulate blood sugar, you know, positive or negative. So what happens is every time we eat, we impact the composition of our gut bacteria, and that affects our metabolism, our ability to burn fat and store it and so forth. So it really reframes, you know, diet and calories and, you know, the types of foods we eat, the botanicals we take. So that's kind of how I got into it and eventually wrote the book called Belly Fat Effect, which really dives into all these different components at a much higher level.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, those are some great observations. And, you know, we are starting to see this play out, certainly in clinical trials. They've been seeing it. And some of the most interesting ones have to do with this therapy that's evolving with a fecal transplantation, which, you know, really freaks people out. But the idea is that if you take the bacterial microflora from, let's say, a healthy person and implant it into a sick person, you can make that sick person well. And probably the most well-researched and widespread application of it at this point in time in medicine has to do with the treatment of a very difficult infection to treat called Clostridium difficile or C. diff, which is a common hospital-acquired infection. It is the most common hospital-acquired infection. It leads to many deaths every year, and it is characterized by diarrhea and gastrointestinal inflammation. And people that get it in hospitals are usually already sick with something or oftentimes elderly and have a very poor ability to recover from a severe diarrhea and the complications associated with C. diff, and so many people die. Many people are treated, and the symptoms go away, but there is an incredibly high rate of recurrence with C. difficile. And what they have found is that doing a fecal transplantation procedure will pretty much cure C. diff within 24 hours with very low rates of recurrence, whereas it can often take long courses of very powerful antibiotics multiple times to get a resolution. It's quite staggering. And they're doing this at very well-respected institutions, Johns Hopkins, I know in this area, Mercy Medical is doing it. It's pretty much limited to the treatment of C. difficile. But when you start looking in the animal models, Mike, I mean, I'm sure you can speak to this as well. One of the first studies that I saw related to weight loss was in mice, where they took obese mice and skinny mice, and they took the gut flora from the obese mice and put it in the skinny mice, and the skinny mice got fat. And then they took the microflora from the skinny mice and they put it in the obese mice, and the obese mice lost weight. And they didn't do anything else. They didn't change their diets. They didn't change their activity levels. They didn't change anything else. And this was a huge aha moment that made us realize that perhaps these gut microflora were playing a larger role. So, Mike, can you help us understand how it is possible that gut microflora could have an influence on the body beyond the digestive system?
Yeah, great, great point there, Dr. Kevin. And just want to highlight something or expand upon something that you mentioned, the C. diff, you know, which we know is a, as you mentioned, very prevalent and can be, you know, it's a very pathogenic organism. So let's, you know, a lot of people, I want to talk about C. diff, but just back up a little bit to frame this, you know, and put it in context, is A lot of people, when they look at themselves in the mirror, if they have a little bit of excess belly fat, or they have diabetes, or the metabolic syndrome, which would be the clustering of cardiometabolic abnormalities, so elevated blood pressure, lipids, insulin resistance, you know, belly fat, and so forth. You know, it's easy to look at things like genetics and say, it's because my family, everyone in my family is overweight, or it's because they don't exercise, or, you know, all these different components. But there's early life experiences that shape our gut bacteria, that eventually shape, you know, our phenotype, how we look, how we feel, how our metabolism is. One of those first experiences is birthing method. Okay, so if you take, this is a lot of, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of research is coming out now. This is very traditional journals are showing that babies that are born via cesarean section are more overweight at age 3 than babies that are born naturally through the mother's vagina. And as it turns out, we're born somewhat sterile. And so that first colonization of bacteria, whether it be from the skin of hospital workers, you know, via cesarean section delivery, you know, what we get is the nosocomial bacteria in the hospital, which, as you mentioned, Dr. Kevin, things like Clostridium difficile, Staphylococcus aureus. These are not the nicest bugs that you want. You know, if you're a sterile, really our immune system is very naive when we're born. It needs all this education externally from bacteria and foods. And so if the first bacteria that are presented to our immune system are these nasty pathogens like C. diff and Staph aureus, and as this happens again when babies are born via C-section, then our immune system becomes kind of hypervigilant, more pro-inflammatory. And that affects not only, you know, our predisposition towards atopy, allergy, autoimmunity, type 1 diabetes, but it's also linked with metabolic issues. And we'll talk about the link later, if you would like, between metabolism and immunity. But suffice it to say, if you're inflamed, you can't burn fat. Okay, so we get these babies that are inflamed, they have imbalanced gut bacteria. And so it's one check mark, you know, that can increase your body's predisposition to store fat more readily. Another early life event would be breastfeeding versus formula fed infants. And we know that formula fed infants tend to have more belly fat. They tend to have more autoimmunity, more inflammation, and so forth. And again, it's educating this gut bacteria. And kind of the big take-home message here is bacterial diversity. So, Dr. Kevin, you asked about the ways that our gut bacteria affect our body composition and our metabolism. And, you know, there are several ways, but the big take-home that I love for people to understand is this bacterial diversity component. We really, just like we like a diverse diet, you know, diversity in exercise, diversity in the economy, and then in our communities create really richness and robust, you know, stability. And that same component or that same thinking occurs in the gut microbiome. So when you alter your gut bacteria, you reduce the diversity, that makes it less stable, and it basically creates more inflammation and affects your metabolism, your fat storage, and blood sugar regulation, and so forth. So those are some of the big things I think people should really keep in mind so that they don't beat themselves up and blame it on their genetics. Just look back and ask yourself these questions, or talk to your parents if you don't know, and that would give you insight to, okay, I really need to take more prebiotics. I need to ingest more probiotics. I need to eat more fermented foods. Maybe even if you mentioned, you know, the FMT, the fecal microbiota transplantation, that might be something someone could consider if they've had all these different early life experiences, which they really had no control over at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is really the key. At that age, you obviously are not making the decisions about how you're born, where you're born, and the environment in which you're born. So for many people, you know, these are things that have been beyond their control, but certainly it makes sense if you're, you know, thinking about having a baby and starting a family. These are important research points to consider and think about. And if you're struggling with issues relating to health that may be linked to the microflora, as we're learning more about how they're linked to different health conditions, looking back at your medical history and even understanding what happened when you were a child is part of it. There's been some correlations between early, very, very early life antibiotic administration, which is really common if you're born in a hospital setting. It's not standard procedure, but, you know, it can be relatively common. And linked to anxiety later in life. So, you know, I mean, there's connections that maybe we could do another show on just linking the gut microflora to anxiety, depression, and the brain. And there's a lot of good research there. So when we come back from the break, Mike, let's start exploring a little bit more about weight loss specifically, and we can sort of, you know, highlight a few other important points about the gut microflora, and then start talking about some things like leptin and other sort of hormones that can be affected in the body, and discussing how this relates to losing weight, because everybody's interested in that. So this is Dr. Kevin Tessaro with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. We're going to be back right after this break.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Old Man Winter is on the way, but you can weather the storm by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. Now through the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Stock up on supplements to fight colds and flu, and pick up some healthy living gifts for your friends and family, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or online at myvillagegreen.com, or call us at 301-530-0800. Our big year-end sale will blow you away.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Thank you all for joining us. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so set your dials. You can also listen to all of our previously recorded shows by going to the Village Green website, www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, if you click on the microphone icon, it will take you right to that archive show section. Today, I'm talking with Mike Mutzel, and we are discussing gut bacteria, specifically as it relates to weight. At least that's going to be the focus of the topic today. Something that everybody is always interested in is how do I sort of lose weight? Last segment, we were talking about this idea that the composition of the gut microflora is turning out to be a very important part, not just of gastrointestinal health, but of the health of our body in general. And I mean, you know, it's interesting to think about philosophically, and I've mentioned this before on the show, our gut is home. It's approximately about 100 trillion microorganisms, which is a lot of bugs. That kind of number is really hard for the human brain to comprehend. If you think about it this way, $1 trillion bills laid end to end would go from Earth to the sun and back with a lot to spare. And then do that 100 times and you start to get an idea about how much 100 trillion is. It's hard for our brains to scale up that high. And that's 10 times more bacteria than we have human cells in our body. So really, we are more bacterial than we are human cellular. And there is a role that these bacteria play. We've been taught in our culture to be so fearful of bacteria because the bacterial and microorganism theory of illness came to light about 100 or plus years ago with this idea that, you know, most people died from bacterial infections. And with the advent of antibiotics, we made huge strides in preventing a lot of death because we weren't dying from bacterial infections anymore. But it led us to believe that all bacteria are bad, not realizing that we have all of these bacteria that not only inhabit our GI system, but inhabit every micro square inch of our bodies. And these things are needed. These bacteria are necessary for the proper and optimal functioning of our bodies. Our bodies have evolved in a way that requires the presence of the right bacteria in order for those human cells to be able to function as they should, and even in order for our genetics to be able to be read, our genetic code to be read in a favorable way. We know that genetics, we've talked about on the show before, are not necessarily your health set in stone. We have something called epigenetics, and basically, by looking at twin studies, you can see people with identical genetics can express very different aspects of health. And as one of my favorite guest, Dr. Joe Lamb, has said many times, you know, health is the favorable expression of your genes, of your genetic code, and disease is the unfavorable expression. And it does go a little deeper than that, but it's important to understand that genetics are not as set in stone as we thought. And these microflora and the bacteria that live in and on our body and which kind our body becomes a home to has a big influence on how that genetic code is read. And that's basically what we're starting to see. So I like people to understand that bacteria are not all bad. They're certainly not all good. And I spend a lot of my time helping people overcome very difficult bacterial infections. But that doesn't mean that we should disregard the ones that are good. And we're going to talk about today strategies of how to improve the biodiversity of bacteria in your body, the good ones, and how to make your body a home for the bacteria that should be there. So, Mike, let's talk about how we relate this a little bit more to this topic we've been discussing, which is weight loss. Tell us about, you know, the gut diversity or the microflora diversity in the digestive system and what we've learned through research about sort of who we want to invite into our bodies to make up a home if we're looking for optimal health?
Yeah, really great question there, Dr. Kevin. And just want to highlight on something, a few things that you mentioned. I love all the numbers, the 100 trillion bacteria versus 10 trillion cells in our body. And then here's the number I think people can resonate with too, is we think about metabolically active organs in our body. The liver is one of the most metabolically active organs. It has some 5,000 different functions, you know, as you know, making glutathione, detoxifying environmental chemicals, processing hormones, making bile, doing all that. Well, the gut microbiome has 6,300 and some odd different functions. So it's actually more active from a metabolic standpoint than our liver. Again, our liver is one of our key organs. It's so active. So that shows, you know, how much our bacteria contribute to our health. And some of these functions include, for example, breaking down cellulose from plants that we eat in our diet. You know, so that kale smoothie that some of you probably had this morning, or, you know, the collard greens or the spinach or the blueberries, all these beneficial compounds that all of our listeners, and I'm sure you eat yourself, Dr. Kevin, every single day, anything with color, blues, purples, tomatoes, carrots, beets, all those polyphenolic compounds, we couldn't really absorb them and process them, and they wouldn't be beneficial for our health without our gut bacteria. Mm-hmm. So they contribute to our health. It's not just disease-producing organisms, as you said. And it turns out that eating a diet rich in color, rich in fiber, so all these plant-based foods and herbs and spices, you know, some of your favorites, I know, Dr. Kevin, like curcumin, resveratrol, taro steel bean, green tea, garlic, rosemary, ginger, all these compounds that are so, so healthy for us. And we used to think they were healthy because they're quote-unquote antioxidants. Mm-hmm. They neutralize toxic free radicals, which, sure, that's one component of that. But we now know that these polyphenolic compounds, basically these color-rich foods from plants, actually selectively grow good bacteria. That's one of their main, you know, one of the ascribed health benefits linked to ingestion of these compounds is by selectively growing good bacteria. In contrast, and I'll just pause right there, the category or the family of these bacteria are called Bacteroidetes. If someone has, you know, is listening and has gotten a stool test from, say, Metametrics, they're going to see the Firmicutes to Bacteroides ratio. This is something a lot of researchers are looking at. And you can remember the Firmicutes, these, again, this is a family of bacteria, where different genera and species fall under. And the Firmicutes are linked with increased belly fat, metabolic issues, diabetes, as we talked about, pre-diabetes, and even autoimmune conditions. In contrast, the Bacteroides are linked with reduction in belly fat, improved metabolism, reduced inflammation. And so, again, when we eat this diet rich in color that everyone should be eating, you know, so forget about calories, focus on color, you're going to selectively grow these healthy bacteria. In contrast, if you eat a diet rich in processed carbohydrates, you're going to foster the growth of the Firmicutes. And I don't want to dive into the biochemistry too much, but suffice it to say that these bacteria contain a limited set of enzymes and functionality. And it turns out that the Firmicutes contain these glycolytic or carbohydrate digesting enzymes. That's really kind of their, you know, if you look at like a car versus a motorcycle, like different engines, their engine is to break down carbs. That's what the fat bugs do. They love carbs. They thrive on carbs. When you eat processed carbs, they're going to grow. In contrast, when you eat a lot of color, you know, the engine of these Bacteroides bacteria love the complexity of these polyphenols. They love fiber, so they're going to grow. So it's what you eat. You are what you eat, but also your bacteria are what you eat as well. So mm-hmm. Bottom line, focus on color, eat a lot of fiber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it makes sense. And I think people are used to the idea, at least of recognizing that weight loss will occur if they shift their diet away from carbohydrates. I think, you know, when you get into this discussion, Mike, with people, you know, a lot of people are very interested and they're thinking, wow, you know, this really makes a lot of sense. And the first next step, usually for most people, is, and even a lot of practitioners, and I'm not saying that this is not a useful step, but I want to open up this discussion about, you know, how useful it is and really putting it in context, is everybody then goes right to, well, which probiotic should I take? And, you know, the thing that I like to bring up is that although probiotics are very useful, I take them every day, I give them to my kids every day, there's lots of great, you know, research studies to show their benefits, I think we're still trying to fully understand, and from what I've seen, there's not 100% really good, clear data to suggest that taking a probiotic is going to dramatically shift the gut flora in the long term. And I think that, you know, when you think about it from a scale standpoint, our gut has 100 trillion bacteria. Most of the strongest probiotics are in the billion range. They're not even a drop in a bucket of enough bacteria to create a large scale change in the gut flora. So I say it not because they're not valuable, but because it's important for people to understand that the most effective way that we have found to shift gut microflora is diet changes, correct?
Absolutely. I love that. And I'll just expand if you don't mind. Studies, and you highlighted people like Gary Gordon, and they did the initial study where you talked about you take germ-free mice and, you know, inject bacteria from overweight mice into their rectum, and they all of a sudden gain weight eating the same amount of food. So this guy, Gary Gordon from Washington University in St. Louis, has done a lot of this research. And his group has also shown that within 24 hours of eating the equivalent of a standard American, you know, processed high-fat, high-sugar diet, the gut microbiome changes completely in 24 hours, and you get a shift away from those beneficial Bacteroides and more Firmicutes. So this is happening in real time right now. So agree with you 95%, Dr. Kevin, and I'll tell you why the other 5% we need to talk about. But diet is the most important thing. Don't eat crap and take a probiotic and think that you're doing yourself a favor. Spend your money on real food first, but also save a little bit for the probiotics, and here's why. Studies have shown, and this is environmental health perspectives, 18 million pounds of antibiotics are used every single year for rearing animals so that we can consume them in our diet. The major problem with that 18 million pounds of antibiotics being used is 75%.
No, I'll just remind you that most of it is in the U.S. But go ahead. Not used in Europe and other countries, only in the U.S. pretty much. Go ahead.
Right. So a lot of antibiotics being used. Here's the major problem with that. 75% of those antibiotics are not even absorbed into the animals. They're excreted through the feces, into the urine. They end up in our food supply and our water supply. So this is a gentleman, researcher, Martin Blaser, out in New York, and he's written a book on this, Missing Microbes. It's a little academic, but it goes down this journey in a whole new level. And so what we're seeing, all this overweight and obesity and autoimmunity and depression and various disorders, you know, and we, as we introduced the call, Dr. Kevin, we talked about bacterial diversity. So we're all getting exposed to low-grade levels of these antibiotics and things like fish, even healthy fish. It's getting into the rivers, the water, the rain. So that's the thing where I think I agree with you hugely, Dr. Kevin. Focus on real food, but also because we are getting exposed to these low-grade levels of antibiotics that are impacting our gut microbiome. I think a probiotic, I take one every day for that reason. So definitely want to keep that as more of an insurance policy, and definitely watch what you eat. You know, if you're going to skimp out, buy high-grade vegetables, but also focus on high-quality antibiotic-free poultry, eggs, and animal products. Definitely don't get farm-raised fish because that is loaded with antibiotic residues. And that's another huge missing link that I think some people forget, because eating, you know, recombinant bovine growth hormone-free meat and antibiotic-free meat gets expensive. So I know these things get challenging from a financial standpoint, but it's really money well spent, I believe. Mm-hmm.
I would agree. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can discuss a little bit more specifics in regards to probiotic supplementation, what might be valuable. We can keep looking at some of the research, and we can talk a little bit more, if we want, about some of the hormones involved in weight loss and weight gain, like leptin, which is a pretty popular hormone that people are starting to pay attention to and want some more information about. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for joining me. We're having a very interesting discussion about the gut microflora. It's been a while since we've had a show completely dedicated to the health of the GI system. In the last segment, we're talking with my special guest, Mike Mutzel, who's got a lot of great information that he's sharing with us. today regarding this topic. And in the last segment, we touched on, you know, there's this issue of, yes, we see that certain health conditions, including obesity, risk for diabetes. Dr. David Perlmutter, a very well-respected neurologist, is connecting issues around gut health to brain health and neurological conditions. We're starting to see that the health of the GI system is branching out to the health of the entire body. So, of course, the next question that most people will ask is, how do I improve the health of my gut? And, of course, most people would like the easiest, quickest fix, and that would come in the form of a probiotic, which is useful. But as me and Mike discussed in the last segment, the key issue is changing the diet and making sure that you're eating foods that will shift the gut flora in the right direction. And we can see from some of the research that's been done, this can happen or start happening in as little as 24 hours if you make the right changes. So it's incredibly impressive, and the gut bacteria is incredibly responsive. They duplicate and replicate on a very, very fast basis, which allows them to change their microflora and change the balance very quickly. So we talked about a diet that's low in refined carbohydrates, that's low in processed food, because that gut bacteria that Mike was referring to that contributes to some weight gain and is associated with being overweight really loves to break down carbohydrates, and instead replacing that with things like vegetables and fruits and foods with a lot of different color and variety and good sources of plant-based fiber. Those types of things will start shifting the gut flora in the other direction, because those ones that shouldn't be there can't break those down. So they die, and the good bacteria get to establish a better environment. Doing that in the context of probiotic therapy can be incredibly useful in shifting the gut flora in the right direction. Now, there are some other things that we talked about in my last show that I just, in case somebody is not a weekly listener and just tuning in, we should cover just briefly for a minute. There is also the issue around what foods you eat when it comes to how that food was grown. So there's a growing body of evidence to suggest that certain pesticides that are very commonly used in the growing of food, specifically a pesticide called glycophosphate, it seems to have a very detrimental effect on the bacteria of the gut. It is a it is something that is used as an herbicide to prevent, to help farmers grow more food. And one of the ways that it acts is it actually has a very negative impact on bacteria, and it has a negative impact on the gut bacteria and seems to be creating gastrointestinal problems in many people. There's also the issue of genetically modified organisms and their impact on gut health. And one of the reasons why they may have an impact on gut health is because genetically modified organisms are genetically modified to be able, many of them, to withstand high amounts of this herbicide without dying. So you can oftentimes find higher residues of these herbicides on genetically modified foods. And the most common ones that make our way into our diet, of course, are the foods that we grow the most of in this country, which are corn, soy, and wheat, probably some of the most, nutritionally devoid products, but the ones that we devote the most amount of farmland to, and those are often genetically modified, or at least the corn and the soy is, and as a result, a lot of the glycophosphate herbicide is used on those products, and it seems to be having a very detrimental impact on gut health. So not only is it about eating better quality food, but if you are ready to go to the next level, you're already eating a relatively healthy diet, or you want to do some more research and understand the negative impacts that these herbicides and genetically modified organisms are having on this gut microflora, which is now connected to many aspects of our health, you can take it a step farther and start eating these really healthy foods, these ones that are grown organically. Mike also talked about the fact that these plant chemicals, these phytonutrients that are found in plants, are one of the things that are responsible for helping helping a good microflora to establish in your GI system. Well, what we've looked at when we've studied organic versus non-organic crop growing is that there's usually not a huge difference in the amount of macronutrients. So when you look at things like zinc levels or selenium levels in a conventionally grown piece of produce and in an organic piece of produce or vegetable, there's not a huge difference. But when you look at the phytonutrient concentration in a organic food versus a non-organic fruit or produce, there is a huge difference in the amount of phytonutrients. It's much lower in the food that was grown with herbicides and pesticides and much higher in the organic food. And this is simply because organic foods or plants naturally produce these phytonutrients oftentimes as a defense mechanism for invading plant species and animal species. And so their natural defenses are higher when they are not artificially, when the growth of these other types of species are not artificially suppressed using herbicides and pesticides. So just another piece of information to think about when you're making choices and how this relates to your GI system. Now, Mike, I know in this segment we want to start talking about some of the things relating to, gut hormones. We think about hormones and we think about estrogen and testosterone and thyroid hormone, and everybody knows how important hormones are, but this idea that this sort of, other organ within our body, this gut microflora, is producing hormones is kind of new to people. So help us understand a little bit more about that, and feel free to touch on any of the other issues that I just covered.
Yeah, really great point there. And again, just to summarize, I think people should really just focus on color and also fiber. So, we have the Firmicutes, the so-called fat bugs, and the Bacteroidetes, or the healthy good bugs. And the best way to increase those is eat, as you said, Dr. Kevin, I love that, that component that these phytonutrients are really defense mechanisms. And so when we, spray on pesticides and herbicides, then the plant isn't forced to make these defense mechanisms. So really well said there. Now, it turns out that what's really good for our gut microbiome, the phytochemicals, phytonutrients, and the fiber, is actually also good for our intestinal tract itself. And this is really interesting research. And as we kind of introduced the call, I was doing clinical nutrition work in a medical setting, and one of the medical assistants, who was morbidly obese, got bariatric surgery and lost an amazing amount of weight very quickly. She was off insulin and all her diabetic medications in a week. I mean, this was so fast, so rapid. And that caused me to really dive into the bariatric surgery research. And what I found out is a lot of people lose weight very quickly with bariatric surgery, and also, their diabetes goes away because there's profound changes not only in the gut microbiome, but also in the intestine itself. And so it's not just nutrient restriction. A lot of people think that, if you get surgical resection of your small intestine, you just can't eat as much food. You're going to get full quicker and you're not going to eat as much. And so, it's calories in, calories out. But that's only like 10% of it. Majority of the effect of bariatric surgery is by changing the release of these powerful gut hormones that speak to the rest of our body, our brain, our pancreas that releases insulin, and so forth. So I'm not suggesting that people run out and get bariatric surgery. What we're going to talk about is natural ways that we can mimic the hormonal effect ascribed to bariatric surgery, which is really profound. So, we're in the holiday season. There's a lot of food, going around. So imagine you're at a Christmas party and you see some sort of food that you like. Maybe it's a piece of cake or something like that, and you're starting to eat. Your cephalic phase of digestion should be starting, meaning that digestion starts in your head. Your hypothalamus is going to, speak to your gut. And your gut is basically, a shipping and receiving center, if you want to look at it like that. And it's going to prepare the body for incoming nutrients. And the way that it does that is it releases 26 different hormones. They're called incretin hormones. Things like GLP-1, cholecystokinin or CCK, GIP-1, PYY. There's many of these different hormones, which are all increased with bariatric surgery. All the new diabetic drugs are going after these hormones. They're very, very powerful. And what's really unique is those same phytonutrients that we eat from organic produce and herbs and spices and fibers that we eat in our diet, and actually pea protein and whey protein, if you want to talk about those, we can all increase these beneficial gut hormones. And let me illustrate to you how effective they are. We know that insulin is very critical. When we eat, say, cranberry juice or a piece of bread or something, some carbohydrate-rich meal, our blood sugar is going to rise. Our pancreas is going to release insulin. Insulin is going to open the door for our cells for that glucose that's caused from our bread or that cranberry juice to get into our cell. Okay, insulin helps lower blood sugar. 50% of insulin's activity is governed by these gut hormones. 50%. So, majority, I could say, of insulin's activity is regulated by these hormones. So that's so powerful. Now, let's talk about ways that these gut hormones become altered. If you eat when you're stressed, if you eat at the wrong time. So it turns out that these gut hormones are really active from about 10 a.m. to about 4 to 5 p.m. So for people that skip breakfast, do a small lunch, Diet Coke and a muffin, and have a huge dinner with pasta and maybe a Coke and ice cream and so forth, your gut hormones are going to be imbalanced, and you're going to have poor digestion, poor gut health, and poor metabolic functioning. So it's really important, for people just to set back, eat their food mindfully, chew their food thoroughly. Studies show that just chewing your food, about 30 to 40 chews per swallow, is linked with increased activation of these beneficial gut hormones, again, that control 50% of insulin's activity. All the phytonutrients, curcumin, resveratrol, pea protein, whey protein, this is research from Duke University, also increases these gut hormones. Things like prebiotic fiber, like inulin, not only grow good guy bacteria, but they increase these gut hormones. So, you know, again, you're going to affect your entire GI tract by just eating this color-rich, fiber-rich diet that we've been talking about.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense when we start understanding it from the physiology perspective, and it's certainly interesting to see these things evolve. I mean, people understand that when they make certain changes to their diet, they lose weight, but they don't understand why. And I think understanding the why is a huge piece in helping people to really embrace the changes that come, you know, in making these types of things, because our culture is obviously, as most people know, very geared towards a lot of carbohydrate, sugar consumption, fast food, easy access food. And clearly we can see the toll that it's taking on the population. So I love the fact that, you know, nutritional science is really showing that food and what we choose to eat is having a more powerful effect on our body than drugs really can ever have by changing our own hormones, by changing our own microflora, by doing these things that are as powerful as using pharmaceuticals or exogenous hormone therapy. So it is incredibly interesting for me and hopefully educational for the listeners. Mike, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our last segment. Maybe we can discuss some specific types of probiotic supplements. Maybe we can discuss some specific types of products to get people on a plan. Certainly everybody will be looking for one soon when the new year rings in to help them support optimal gut microflora, optimal gut hormone levels, and support weight loss and an optimal body mass index. So this is Dr. Kevin Passera with the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Put a little more jingle in your pocket by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. From now until the end of 2010, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Give the gift of good health to the people you care about and stock up on healthy living essentials for yourself, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or on the web at myvillagegreen.com. Or just give us a jingle at 301-530-0800.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorn Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We've been talking with Mike Mutzel, discussing the role of gut bacteria and the role of gut health. Last segment, we were talking about the GI system and how it produces many different hormones that relate to many different aspects of our health. And what Mike was discussing was pretty interesting as far as its relation to the activity of insulin, which we know plays a major role in many health issues. People think about insulin and immediately they think about diabetes, but insulin plays so many different roles. And I will say, you know, I tell people all the time that there's nothing more important to weight loss than hormones. And, you know, people are a little surprised because, I mean, Mike, and feel free to chime in. I mean, there so many people are still walking around with the notion that weight loss is based on the science of like 30 years ago, which is basically calories in and calories out, you know, equals weight loss. And so, but like, I've never seen that really work out so well for people. I mean, yeah, if somebody can go get on some, you know, major national diet program where they count their calories and they count their points and they're doing low calorie and they lose weight, but it is non-sustainable. As soon as they start eating regular again, they gain weight. Versus somebody comes into me and I tell them, fine, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work on balancing your hormones, not necessarily your calories. And when I'm talking hormones, I'm not even talking about what everybody thinks of with hormones. I'm not even talking about estrogen and testosterone and progesterone and thyroid hormone. I mean, sure, you've got to correct those issues if there's something overtly wrong. But in most people who are trying to lose weight, there's not. The hormone I'm referring to is insulin. And the way you manipulate insulin is by manipulating the amount of carbs and sugars that you take in. So I put people on lower carbohydrate diets. They're eating way more calories. And this is where like the chronic, you know, weight loss people look shell-shocked when I'm talking to them. They're like traumatized because I'm telling them it's okay to eat an avocado. It's okay to cook with coconut oil. It's okay to snack on some nuts. These are foods that they have been taught over and over again to be deathly afraid of because they're high calorie foods. But I'm telling you that 99 out of 100 people, when you put them on that diet, they will lose weight even though they may be consuming more calories than they were on a previous diet simply because you're manipulating the hormones. And the primary hormone is insulin, right, Mike? I mean, is this what you see in clinical practice as well? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's only in my office.
No, this is a huge point. You hit the nail on the head there, Dr. Kevin. And, you know, just to support it with some science, actually studies have shown, and this is New England Journal of Medicine, one of the most traditional medical journals that's out there, you know, good old boy journal. And this journal showed that people that embark on a low-calorie diet, and this was 1,200 to 1,400 calories, which, you know, I don't know how people can function on that little intake, but what have you. Anyway, they did a 14-week study, and these were overweight individuals. They did a very, you know, restricted calorie diet, and guess what happened? They suppressed all their beneficial hormones in their GI tract that regulate insulin's activity. And it wasn't just suppressed for the 14 weeks, and then when they returned to the, you know, 2,000 or 2,500 calorie diet that these hormone levels rise again. No, they were suppressed for 18 months. So we see these people that, you know, every new year they hop on the low-calorie bandwagon, they're doing a lot of cardiovascular training at the gym, and then they end up gaining weight, or they have these crazy cravings for foods that they never used to crave before. And so any weight loss, they regain plus some. And so you see this cycle going on. And now we know the science is when you embark on these low-calorie diets, you shut down these gut hormones. And as Dr. Kevin just mentioned, you know, these gut hormones regulate one of the most important hormones in our body, insulin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to just, you know, forget about the calories. Even studies have shown that PhD nutritionists who all they do is, you know, do nutrition work all day long, they can't even count their own calories. So forget that. You're never going to lose weight doing that. Just focus on the quality of food and
right.
High quality fats, high quality protein, organic produce, and not only just the food that you eat, but how you eat the food. I think that's really, really important and under-recognized. And I think, believe it or not, I think this is the most important, you know, touch point that people can affect in their diet is become relaxed, mindful eaters. Chew your food, swallow your food, mm-hmm. be in a calm state. If you need to do some yoga or, you know, 2 minutes of meditation before you eat, please do so, mm-hmm. because that will really help you to better process the food, make make sure that you're digesting and breaking down food effectively, because if we don't have good digestion, then we have fermented products in our GI tract, and our gut bacteria can, you know, make nasty compounds that can damage our gut, that can affect our brain, you know, things like hydrogen sulfide and other short-chain fatty acids and so forth. So just really focus on being calm, relaxed, and focus on food quality and color.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, when you start looking at diets like that, they're not just great for weight loss. I mean, you can pick them up from that perspective, but they typically also reduce inflammation in the body, which we know is a contributing factor to many chronic diseases, including diabetes, including certain types of cancer, including heart disease, including neurological degeneration. It's a diet that provides optimal nutrients. It provides optimal physical performance for athletes. It's basically, you know, it just makes sense because it has so many health benefits. Because it's actually the diet that the human body was intended to eat. You know, we've been sort of evolving as a human species, been in our sort of current form for about 300,000 years, and we've been around for longer, slowly trying to figure out where we fit in this planet and what our bodies will thrive on when it comes to what's available for us to consume on Earth. And our bodies developed a relationship, and it's developed a formula for what it needs in order to thrive. And going back to that type of eating, lots of vegetables, the right good quality select fruits, good quality lean proteins, lots of good quality fats. These are the things that our bodies and our cells were designed to thrive on as far as fuel. So when you start throwing in a ton of refined carbohydrates, which has only been available to us via the advent of an agriculture and farming culture, which is a tiny blip in the radar. And when you look at human history, these are not foods that humans had access to on a regular basis for a long period of time. You can see how they wreak so much havoc and why shifting our diet in the way that we've shifted it has created a flood, opened the floodgates of chronic disease, which, as I talked about earlier in the show, you know, 150 years ago, the number one leading cause of death was infection related. Now, the number one leading cause of death is heart disease, and cancer is number two. You know, and some diabetes is somewhere around there, number three. So, I mean, it's all become chronic disease that we suffer from, and much of that is modifiable through what we eat. And we're learning now through, as we've talked about, the microflora, that's how it's affecting it. So, Mike, just some real practical things. I mean, can you talk about like a good probiotic? I mean, we've only got a few minutes left, but, you know, we should at least leave people with some ideas about what to look for, if, you know, including if they're doing the diet, what they can supplement with.
Yeah, really great point right there. So a couple of things I would highly recommend. So if weight loss or just, you know, people want to maintain lean muscle mass and prevent fat gain, you know, things you should consider would be curcumin. Mix it in your diet as turmeric root. A lot of local co-ops and organic food stores will carry this turmeric root, but also get it from supplemental sources too. I think this is a big one. It affects leptin resistance. It's going to help grow good gut bacteria. Resveratrol is another one to consider. So this helps to upregulate these powerful gut hormones that control insulin. It also impacts beneficially gut bacteria. And along those lines, moderate red wine consumption is beneficial as well. And that's not a bottle a night. That's 1 to 2 glasses tops. Excess alcohol actually damages the gut, affects the gut bacteria in a negative way. Coffee is one we should consider as well. I know it can be tough on the adrenals. Make sure you have coffee. You know, if you're going to have coffee, have it in the morning. Studies do show that regular coffee drinkers have higher levels of bifidobacteria. Regular wine drinkers have higher levels of bifidobacteria. Bifido is really the genre of bacteria that you want. And along those lines, if you were to supplement with bacteria, focus on a product that's heavy in bifido. A lot of research has shown that there's higher quantities of bifidobacteria in the stool of lean individuals compared to overweight individuals. Higher bifido levels are protective against diabetes and so forth. So that's what I'd focus on. And another strain, this is actually probiotic yeast. And Dr. Kevin, we talked about Clostridium difficile or C. diff. And there's this probiotic yeast, Saccharomyces boulardii. And that's really linked with protection against travelers, diarrhea, and Clostridium difficile infection, but also it helps to shift the gut bacteria in a beneficial way.
That is a great one, and I oftentimes do recommend people, you can supplement it with your other probiotics to help the other probiotics gain a foothold and thrive more in your digestive system. So that about wraps it up. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time. You shared with us some really amazing and very informative information.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody, that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health until next time. Take care.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.